Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And I'm here, but still waiting for us to change the introduction.
Your stubbornness. Precisely. Okay, so we are going to go straight into the question. This one is from Brent Dumler. He has sent in a few questions in the past. And in fact, if you are listening into the podcast right now, maybe you're driving or you're at your computer or wherever it is you're listening and you're like, you know, I have a question and I've not yet submitted it in, be sure to do that. You can go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail if you're on your computer. Or if you're on a mobile device, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. That's speakpipe.com/newchurches, and just submit it in. We'd love to answer it on the podcast. Now here it is.
What's the most biblical and healthy way to measure discipleship growth?
All right.
Simple, short and sweet.
The most biblical and healthy way to measure discipleship growth.
Yeah, well, the most biblical way would be to measure it against the biblical teaching. So if we think in terms of, think in terms of Philippians chapter 2, where we kind of later after the great canonic hymn, we see kind of a description of what that looks like. We actually see, kind of a description of how a person would be if they're a disciple. It says this, therefore, my dear friends, this is after the beginning hymn that everyone knows, you know, who exists in the very form of God, but not regarded God something to be grasped. Anyway, but after that, it says, so then, my dear friends, just as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. So it's talking about that ongoing spiritual formation, not just when Paul's there, but something they're working out, not working on or working for, but they're working out on a regular basis. And then verse 13, for it is God who's working in you, enabling you both to desire, even if you want to grow, that's from the Lord, and to work out for his good purpose. And then it kind of lays out some of those things. Some of them are interpersonal, do everything without grumbling and arguing, so you may be. And then it gets to the character of your heart, blameless and pure, children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. So I guess the question is, how then, that's the biblical, I mean, there's 100 other passages I could refer to and you could refer to, but the question is then, how do you measure that? Well, I mean, part of that is in relationship with other people. You know, we see somebody growing. It's not a quantitative analysis generally, but part of that's growing. Part of that is also then measurable by other means. So, for example, you know, we worked at Lifeway at that discipleship assessment, and you know, I think they've renamed it now just recently. I'm trying to remember what's it called now. Discipleship Pathway, or
yeah, it's called Discipleship Pathway. Yeah,
Pathway. Yeah, it's the discipleship.
We'll put
Pathway
the link
assessment
in the show notes. Yeah,
yeah. So that's what we developed years ago, and now it's still available and updated as well. They're doing a whole new round of research on it. So I think and there's bulk discounts. Whole churches can do it. So if you do it individually and you do it annually, you can actually compare year to year your growth. If you do it as a church, you can kind of see how you're doing as a congregation. But I think, and you and I both are connected with Lifeway, so we're for what that does. But if that's not your cup of tea, there's also other resources out there as well. I happen to think that one's the best. So I would encourage you to go to just Google Discipleship Pathway Assessment Lifeway, and it comes up immediately.
Yeah. So when you think about it, I like how you broke down the question, Ed, you know, what's the most biblical way? What's the healthy way? And what does measuring look like? In most churches that I interact with, I mean, this is a question that a lot of people are wrestling with. And oftentimes they'll reach out because I wrote a book on discipleship around this topic. And I spent the first couple chapters wrestling through this question.
That was the five silver bullets.
No, no, No silver bullets.
No silver bullets. Okay.
So in light of that, you know, the first principle that I would say is that discipleship is more about a direction than a destination. Now, having said that, we obviously need to be moving along in that right direction, but there are markers along the way, which is why that discipleship pathway assessment is so helpful, right? Like, are they engaging with the scriptures? Are they obeying God and denying self? Are they serving God and others? Are they sharing Christ, right? So there are these eight markers, these eight attributes that healthy disciples exhibit. Now, the thing about these eight things, they're not necessarily the be-all end-all. Like Ed said, we definitely are pro this assessment, but I guess my encouragement to you would be, if you're not going to use this assessment, start somewhere though. Right. Sometimes we neglect all of this research that is out there, all of the work that has been done. We neglect it all and we're like, no, we're going to start from scratch. The problem with that is that we often disciple the way that we've been discipled. So you may, with those around you, come up with a few different attributes that you think best exhibits what a healthy disciple looks like. But your opinions are very, very shaped. They're shaped by how you were discipled and what normal is for you. I love sharing this example. Imagine in your church, two 24-year-olds just accepted Christ, committed their lives to Christ this last week, and you are meeting them for the first time to begin discipling them, right? So two 24-year-olds. One of them grew up in Tribeca, you know, the most expensive area in New York. I mean, both parents are in philanthropy. I mean, they're just uber, uber rich, incredibly wealthy. And then you have this other person who grew up with a one parent, mom was living with his mom was working three jobs, grew up in Brooklyn, and all their entire lives, right? So two men who just gave their lives to Christ, and you are sitting down to disciple them this next week. What would be the same and what would be different? Right. What do you think about that, Ed?
Wow. I mean, I think a lot. I mean, ultimately, I mean, that's a great, great picture, too. You know, I came to Christ.
Yeah.
I think when I came to Christ, my mom was a single mom. I'm trying to remember the timing. And so, you know, we were, you know, on government assistance, that kind of stuff. And it was very much shaping in my whole life. You know, in other words, people who discipled me also discipled me about how to make good decisions as a young man and more, where I would think somebody maybe who had a more stable home life would have not had to have the discipleship in basic life ideas, life function. So for sure, I like that example. That's powerful, actually. I guess what I would say is there are things in common that all believers need to know and to grow in. And it's not, discipleship is not just about knowing, it's about growing and doing and more. But there are things that we would say, we want them to all be secure in their gospel understanding of their new life in Christ. We want them to share the gospel. We want them to be people of prayer and spiritual growth, et cetera, et cetera. So all those things are true. But at the same time, sometimes that discipleship, you know, when I was planting a church among the urban poor in the inner city of Buffalo, New York, some of our discipleship was how to get out of being in a tricking culture, you know, where there's prostitution and present that stuff. How do we get basic work skills? So it's different in different contexts because they require all of us to kind of help people grow in multiple ways.
Yeah. Let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor and we'll get back into it. You've probably heard about the movie Overcomer, but you may not know that there are a few books and Bible studies inspired by the film. One is called Define by Alex Kendrick and Stephen Kendrick, which is a book and Bible study based on insights from the book of Ephesians. You can find these books and Bible studies at lifeway.com/overcomer. And I find that's incredibly helpful to think about, because discipleship, yes, there is the measure of biblical knowledge that we need to grow in so that we know what it means to obey God and to deny self, right? As one of the eight attributes in the discipleship pathway assessment advocates for. I mean, we need to know, even when it comes to discernment, you know, God is not going to be contradicting to his word. So we need to know what his word is. So obviously we need to grow in that. But a lot of churches think discipleship or maturity is all about your measure of biblical knowledge. Yeah. But like you said in that example, right, working with the urban poor, knowing how to find a job and keep a job and being able to provide for your family. I mean, that's as much a part of the discipleship process, and being faithful at work and representing Christ. And, you know, we have a lot of the servants and, you know, the bosses and the husbands and the, you know, there's a lot of passages in the scripture where we talk about this idea of serving one another and being faithful and caring for one another. And a lot of these one another's, even when it comes to, you know, Onesimus and Philemon, and you have all of these examples that are helpful that sometimes, you know, get pushed to the side because, oh, no. Because you don't even know about it.
Right. Oh, for sure. And I think ultimately how that's lived out is going to be different in each person. But back to his original question. I don't want him to hear the breadth of what we're talking about and not think that there are, well, therefore there are no ways to measure spiritual growth and discipleship. I think not only are there, but, you know, there's a quote attributed to Winston Churchill, and I don't know if I can find the original source, but he's once been quoted as saying that however beautiful the strategy, occasionally it's helpful to look at the results. So I think that's a great desire on his part. What's the most biblical? We talked about some of the biblical markers, but what people who do discipleship assessments do is they take kind of the biblical things. We had 8 biblical realities, right? You're denying self, you know, engaging the word, whatever. Mm-hmm. And those 8 biblical realities are then measurable. And so I want to know both, I want each individual to know how they're growing, but I also want to be able to go back to the whole congregation and say, here's how we're growing together. So I think both of those things ultimately matter. And I think his idea of assessing is a win, and I'm for it, and I love it.
Yeah. So we come down to the brass tacks of how do we then measure this, right? And a lot of times you're sitting in a room and the reason you ask a question like this is because you're asking, hey, is what we're doing actually effective, right? And you're like, I wish there is a way for us to know. And then I've been in a lot of rooms like this where it's like, okay, well, how do we know? Well, let's look at the metrics for, you know, participation in group life, or how frequently do people come out in a group environment, and what percentage of our church is a part of that, and what percentage is serving and giving. And we have these metrics that we often look to because those are the things that have been measured. But the reason why an assessment like this is helpful, not only just to do one time, but to do on an ongoing basis, is so that you actually have different metrics that you can measure, and you have a different gauge to, you know, a different scorecard that you can actually reference, rather than it just being all just hearsay.
Yeah. And I think ultimately that's the key. You don't want just anecdotal ideas, because what happens is, as a pastor, the people who are growing most are often the people closest to, and there might be people distant from you relationally who are not growing or maybe stuck and stagnant. It was interesting, you know, Willow, you know, took a, you know, I mean, not a lot of, everyone was excited about their seeker approach, whatever. But you know, they also honestly looked at their situation through Reveal and said, people are getting stuck spiritually. Mm-hmm. And you got to admire the fact that they'd honestly look at their situation. And I think ultimately we need to honestly look at our situation to make sure where we are and how we're growing. Because in the process of such, we might find out that, like Willow did, people get stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. So we hope that's helpful. Be sure to check out the Lifeway Discipleship Pathway Assessment. Leave a question if you haven't yet done so already. Speakpipe.com/newchurches. And also be sure to check out the newest podcast that's a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. It's called the Unseen Leadership Podcast, hosted by Chandler Vinoy and Josh Hunter. And they this is a podcast for young leaders to learn from those ahead of them by exploring the early days of their leadership, understanding the mistakes they made, and identifying the habits that shape them. So just look up Unseen Leadership on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.